This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
One, I knew Golovkin had won by the time I had watched the fight, but still entertaining. I wish there was a way. I wish there was some crazy doctor with white hair that figured out a time machine where I could be in two places at once and I could have watched Golovkin Lemieux live.
But I wasn't crazy,
able to.
Marty.
No, exactly. But I wasn't able to, so I watched Golovkin on the internet after the fact. I predicted Golovkin to win. He did. Lemieux fits into what style Golovkin wants. Here you had a kid that, and Lemieux is still a kid. He's a great fighter. A kid that likes to bang. I would say going forward, I'd like to see Golovkin fight a more traditional boxer. Hopefully him and Andre Ward can work it out. Or in the event that Mayweather decides he wants to open the new MGM Grand Arena and is not really retired, he takes the risk and fights Golovkin. Although at this time, we were talking down there, Anthony Barnes, I do believe Golovkin might give him problems, but I think you have to pick Mayweather until he does something stupid. But Golovkin's a beast. He is a modern-day European Mike Tyson. Not only that, he took a different approach this time around with David Lemieux. David Lemieux gave him much respect. And they both played the respect card. But I tell you what, Golovkin can turn it off when he goes in those four sides of a ring. He becomes a different guy. He is punishing. We saw Lemieux go down to one knee. Whether or not you believe Golovkin, and only Anthony can ask this because he's answer this. He's been in a ring, but he took a shot at Lemieux after the fact, whether it was intentional, whether it was meant to mean. But he is a mean mother effer. When it comes to him being in the ring after the fact, he's the most exciting fighter we've seen since probably Pacquiao was knocking out Ricky Hatton and some of the other people. It's the knockout power people are asking for, but will people buy in because he's European? It's a problem that Klitschko had. It's a problem that other European fighters have. It's interesting. New York loves him, but is he ready for Las Vegas? Is he ready for Los Angeles? Is he ready for the big time, the next step?
Yeah, I think he is. Once he fights more American fighters, I think in the next year or two, you know, he'll be like, he's pay-per-view ready now, entertainment wise. But like to pull like Mayweather numbers and stuff like that, it's not going to happen. But once he starts fighting more American fighters and beating them like he's doing to Lemieux and everyone else he steps in the ring with, I don't see why everyone else wouldn't, you know, pay for it.
And my hero of the week is actually David Lemieux. Not like we give it out every week, but he was hit when he was down. He had to take a break. He had to go down on a knee, and Golovkin followed with a shot. And the rule there is that if ruled disqualified, if Lemieux said I couldn't continue, the belts would transfer and there would be a rematch, and it would be, I believe, a no contest. Lemieux, that's not the type of guy Lemieux is. He still thought he had a fighter's chance. He got up. Golovkin made a mistake, and Lemieux, being the competitor that he is, and I don't think anyone wants a technicality loss like that, got up and started to bang again. Lemieux did have a round in which I thought we talked about this. I thought he stunned Golovkin. You thought Golovkin was in position and just got back. Mm-hmm. We won't know, I guess, unless Golovkin answers. But Lemieux is an exciting fighter. Is he top 5, top 10, top 15? No. But he's a guy that comes and bangs. And now we have to look ahead because we start our show on Tuesday and everyone's talked. What's next for Golovkin? Do you wait for a Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez to get done? Do you look for an Andy Lee, a guy with amazing punching power who kind of, you know, starts off slow? one to five rounds, doesn't look good, and then a sixth and eighth round, all of a sudden, you know, it's lights out. It's interesting. Golovkin has options and is now becoming markable, as you said, Anthony.
Yes.
And this was his first pay-per-view. He almost, you know, Max Kellerman said it the other day, guys. He thought, and I love Max Kellerman, he's one of my idols in this business. He thought Golovkin purposely backs off fighters to goat people into fighting him. Mm-hmm. He thinks Golovkin can walk through people quicker. And David Lemieux bit, and he got punished. Mm-hmm. I mean, he a nice payday. People know David Lemieux. They know his haircut. I saw what's his name was ripping on his hair. I think Shane Mosley. I think it's one of those things where you're going to have to convince somebody to fight you. And the thing that Stephen A. Smith said today on ESPN or yesterday on ESPN is that he who is friends with Mayweather said Mayweather wants no piece of him. I still think Mayweather is difficult to comprehend, but I got to ask Anthony, do you think Golovkin has the speed, and it will take speed to beat Mayweather,
I think that, honestly, I think he has enough to give him problems. I don't know if he has enough to beat him, but at the same time, I don't think Floyd wants anything to do with him. I mean, Golovkin said he would go down to 54. You know, he'd go up to super middleweight, say at 160. So he doesn't really care what weight class he fights at. But I do think he'd be really too big for Mayweather, too strong. He does have that European, like, come forward style. At the same time, he's very smart. And he'll fight you at a distance. And he has really good timing. I don't know. I mean, look how much problems, you know, Mayweather's had in his last couple fights with
would you like to buy a vowel?
Yeah, yeah.
An A?
What are you talking
twice.
About?
Fought him twice. Rematch.
Mayweather?
Yeah, Mayweather just had a...
Maidana
is not very fast.
No.
He's not very long fighter. He's not a very smart fighter. He's just a brawler. And he gave him issues the first time. So if you have somebody who can do that and put a little bit of smarts behind it, like, you know, and really time it, I think he could probably catch Mayweather.
I think Golovkin's boxing skills are underrated. I really do. Even though everybody hypes him up. That jab, we talked about it, won him the fight. The first three rounds, Lemieux found that jab in his face.
Yeah, everybody who Mayweather fights, not everybody, but a lot of people, they're come-forward fighters. And, you know, not saying Golovkin isn't, but all these other past fighters, like when he fought Canelo, you know, when Canelo throws his jab, he steps forward every single time. Golovkin will step around and keep in the same, like, range the whole entire time until he can catch you. So that's how he controlled Lemieux. He wasn't coming in straight. He was waiting for Lemieux to come to him. So, in which he did. So I feel like maybe you give Mayweather a lot of problems.
So this has happened, and Golovkin now is almost everybody's pound for pound paper champion, because there's really no award for that, and we don't know. Anthony, you said that he was interested in maybe moving down in weight class. You've trained in many different situations, and you know what it's like cutting weight. Will his power carry down?
No, because I don't think he has an issue making middleweight. If you look at him at weigh-ins, like, he was in good shape and he was cut up, but he wasn't cut up like that. He still had, you know, a little bit of excess, like, you know, water weight around his, like, lower stomach, you know, like, where the sugars and stuff like that hang around, you know, lower body.
What are you looking at me for?
I'm just saying.
why are you looking at me when you say that?
Because.
Okay. Just saying. You know. It's not right. It's rude.
You're slamming.
It's rude is what it is.
He's slamming meat sticks right now. Everybody, so.
Which are all protein. It's not sugar.
Mm, yeah, okay. So I don't think you have an issue making 154. Mm-hmm. Middleweight, he doesn't have an issue, obviously. So if anything, he'd be a bigger puncher at 54, and he'd be just as strong. It's not that much of a difference. It's 6 pounds.
Now, you're around the gyms because you're back to training. You're ready to get your next fight announced by Top Rank, and as soon as it does, we'll announce it.
Yes.
What were people saying around the gyms? Because you're around fighters that are pros. You're around personal champions. They all watch Golovkin fight a guy that was ambitious to fight. Where is Golovkin as a European in the gyms of Detroit with the rich boxing history? Is he a hero now? Is it somebody that people are excited?
He's on top of everybody's list now. You know, this is a fight where it was like, if, you know, Golovkin has a lot of problems with Lemieux, who is more of a basic fighter, he's not, he shouldn't be on the top pound for pound list, you know, maybe for exciting fights, but not pound for pound best boxers in the world. And, you know, the the non-believers became believers this weekend. He, you know, took Lemieux and made him look like an amateur.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Lenardo Tyner is one of those fighters. Like, I don't think Triple G's as good as, you know, everyone says he is. And then after this, he's like, you know what? If anything came out of this fight, he punches a lot harder than, you know, expected, you know, and his boxing skills a lot better. So, I mean, you take people that just don't want anything to do with you. You know, like, no one really liked Triple G in the gym, honestly. I did. You know, everyone's like, well, Lemieux's going to take it to him, and now everyone's, you know, 180 about it.
So what is it about him? Is it, I mean, let's be honest, he's not as markable as most fighters. You know, his hairstyle isn't as markable. His face isn't as markable.
His hairstyle? That's where you went?
No, it's true. It's true. Like, okay.
Are you talking about Triple G or
Triple
David
G.
Lemieux?
Triple
okay.
G. No.
Mayweather have a hairstyle.
Mayweather got to where he was is because markability.
Right.
And so Golovkin, if you look at Golovkin,
he's not attractive.
You might accidentally pick on Golovkin at a bar and get your ass kicked.
Which
that's
would
what
be
I'm saying.
Awesome. Right.
No. Golovkin doesn't have that traditional marketability is what I'm saying. If you look at Golovkin, is he going to sell Nestle Quick anytime soon or anything like that? He's not a marketable guy. What I'm saying is,
but a lot of boxers out there, they don't have that. Yeah.
But nowadays that's what it takes.
I don't think right. he needs it. If they get if they get the Mike Tyson hype behind him, which
yeah.
if you look at him, you know, like
yeah,
in
Mike
his fights,
Tyson was not a good looking guy either,
I mean, but no. he was crazy.
But when you
people
knockouts,
love crazy.
But when you get knockouts like that, that's what people.
Yeah, that's
like.
True too. And yeah. then yeah. And the marketability it if you have the right marketing team, it doesn't matter what you look like, they're going to market you,
sure,
and they're going
yeah.
to market you they'll, to the right people the right way.
Yeah, smart marketer, they'll play to that. They'll play
right,
to his,
exactly.
his unattractiveness.
Right, and, exactly.
They'll make fun of it and whatever, and they'll have a commercial where he gets called ugly in a bar and beats the crap out of the dude.
I don't think it'd work like that because he's European. Like, you can't take him and bring him over here and put him in a commercial with someone that's making fun of him. People won't understand who, number one, who
oh,
he
would
is.
Never talk.
And he would, yeah, exactly.
He so would never talk. I'm just saying, like, there are ways, like, I don't think his look is really... I don't think that is something to worry about as far as
I think so.
Goes.
I think Oscar De La Hoya benefited from his look.
Oh,
I think
he
girls
sure did.
Used to right.
Oh yeah.
I Mayweather his Canelo. Lifestyle benefits Canelo down in Mexico. I think that's huge.
I think people are sick of Mayweather's lifestyle and the way he portrayed himself.
Yeah,
but
that gives him attention.
Yeah, but so we're sick of the Kardashians and they still.
But if you get
out
there on the that's because 90% of the population in America is dumb.
But if you get 200,000 buys of pay-per-view because people think, A, you're good-looking or they like your lifestyle and stuff, that's a win for you. And Anthony will tell
I'm not,
you.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with that. What I'm saying is if he gets the proper marketing team, he won't need, like, they can take a good marketing team would be able to take anybody. They'd be able to take anybody and they'd be able to put a spin on it mm-hmm. to where people would like him. They will find his strengths.
Absolutely.
They will find his weaknesses. They will play to the strengths. They will downplay the weaknesses. And they will make it to where people will like him. He will be a face that people will recognize, and they're going to want to
see
him
I
box.
I think the marketing strategies here in the U.S. are a lot different than they are.
They are. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying an American marketing team. I'm saying the best kind of marketing team for him,
but he's
whether it be European
money.
Or
what,
not.
What commercials,
but he's gonna make the money here.
What commercials right. did Mayweather actually do?
He didn't need
where
to
he
because he sold his fights.
Right.
He sold his fights is what I'm getting
well,
at.
What I'm saying is you got Mayweather, who arguably is a decent-looking fellow.
Very good
as
looking
much as
for a
I
fighter.
Don't, as much as I don't like him,
right?
A decent-looking fellow, but they still didn't put him in commercials.
No, because of his past definitely hurt him, but he was making so much money. Why take sponsorships at that time?
And on top of it, who wants to market a guy who beats up his girlfriends, his wives?
Well,
his
right. I'm not
exactly.
saying there are
no,
problems.
No, no.
I'm just like, I don't know. I don't think it.
I'll give you a great example really quick. Miguel Cabrera, who is amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not his past that keeps him from endorsement
it's
deals
what keeps
because
him going.
Right. I mean, he had a shady pass of
right.
Drinking a lot and everything.
Right.
It's because he doesn't speak English. He doesn't resonate with American audiences that when Major League Baseball throws out 10 people, you don't hardly see Cabrera. And Cabrera is the best player I've ever seen next to Ken Griffey Jr. It's going to be a problem Golovkin has, just like Klitschko had, in that for some reason, Americans don't recognize European fighters. And he's very strong in New York, which happens with European fighters.
They can't connect with him here.
Right. Europeans always do well in New York. Right. Can he do well in a Vegas? Can he – okay, right. So you did an HBO pay-per-view. What's next? Mayweather fought Guerrero. And is Guerrero – for most people that knew boxing – we knew Guerrero was in trouble, but he still sold record numbers.
Right.
It's because Mayweather was that strong. Can Golovkin get there with the non-marketability?
He can get there by his punching power, and that's the only thing he has working for him when it comes to that.
Right.
Punching power, that's it.
So
that's how you market it.
But to the mainstream. Like, to the only reason the I knew fighters. Who Triple G was because of a fight that we watched 2 years ago, and it stuck out in my
head.
I did.
Okay.
From punching power.
It stuck in my head.
From being excited.
So what you do...
probably one of the only ones who has.
You need
what
to get
you
him.
Do... Well, I was going to say, what you do is you say, okay, well, so he had a fight in New York, and we're going to try to get him a fight in Vegas. All right? So what you do is you saturate the market ahead of time with a video that goes viral showing his punching power, showing the dominance he has in the ring and the knockouts and all that kind of stuff like that, and you blow that up on mass media and on social media to where even people who don't watch boxing have seen that video and went, who is this guy? He kind of reminds me, and they play it off as in, you know, the punching power, you know, there hasn't been, and I'm not saying this, but I'm saying as an example, you know, there hasn't been someone this powerful since Mike Tyson. Watch Golovkin, you know, blah, 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 and it just boom, 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 boom.
The only thing he's missing, though, honestly, because they have the videos of him, like, being dominant and everything.
Yep.
What he's actually missing is the opponent. Dave Lemieux is his hardest fight, and he's probably his best known fighter that he's fought. And he's only big in Quebec,
right?
You know, Montreal. So, if you get a Canelo Alvarez, right? A lot of people know, regardless, you know, if he's Mexican or not,
right?
And you get a Miguel Cotto, a Hall of Famer. You get these big names, and you can build them off of that. Where more mainstream people know those names,
but
he
see
needs
that's
another name to go with him.
Well, but see, the thing is the people that you're going to be marketing to are. Because anybody who knows boxing knows Golovkin. So those aren't
the
people
that...
But the
point is that they want to get other people that aren't into the boxing.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Now,
so they're not going to know... People that aren't into boxing aren't going to know if Lemieux is a good fighter or if, you know, his other opponents... All they're going to see is this guy knocking people out. They don't care who the other fighters were because they're not into the game. They're going to see him knocking these people out, and that's going to get them interested to see his next fight. That's when you need him to have the good fight.
But there needs to be something about him. Mayweather, the only reason I watch his fights is because I know he's boring, and I know he's going to be boring every fight.
And you want him to lose. Some people want him to lose.
I don't like him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's arrogant and cocky, but then you got other fighters where, you know, their attitudes are just, you know, happy-go-lucky.
Right,
you know, and
right.
Canelo.
Like, oh, I want... Canelo.
Yeah. Pacquiao now.
You know, yeah. Exactly. You're like, oh, that's a really nice guy. I hope he does well. You know what I mean?
Right.
He beats this person.
Or, I mean, you could...
He needs something to go along with his punching power.
Where is he from, Golovkin? Where's he from? I mean, Russia, you know, whatever.
Look it up, Cox.
Yeah, but anyways, Kazakhstan or something like that, right? So you bill him as that... You know,
Kazakhstan.
Yeah, thank you.
You
bill him as that thing that you know, the low guy that started in a third world country and has worked his way up, and he becomes the underdog. He becomes the guy that you want to root for because he lived in, you know, harsh environments, and he.
But that's every boxer's story. To be
honest. I know, but
that's
what I'm saying,
thing, no one cares.
But if you market it right, people will care. That's what I'm saying.
What really got us in, or myself into personal. Liking of a boxer, I don't know how to say it right, but was the 24/7s.
Yes.
Right. He needs them.
Yep.
Right.
He needs something like that.
It connects you with their on a personal level.
Yep.
I mean, Mayweather lived on 24/7.
But the reason why it works for Mayweather is because he has Bugattis, private jets.
Right.
He's doing all this elaborate stuff. If you have a Golovkin and I can't say Canelo because Canelo kind of has the same lifestyle.
Oh, let's say Leo Santa Cruz. Everyone that is in boxing knows him, but yet he can't take that next level.
If you say they were in the same weight class and you put them both on a 24/7, Do you know all you would see is them going to the gym and going home?
Yep.
That's not very interesting. Nobody cares. So, like, okay, obviously you have to
But that's not what you would do. A producer of that 24/7 video would not make it look like he just goes to the gym and goes home. They will actually spin it and edit it to make it look more than what it is.
That's no, I disagree, because
to have the footage to do that with them.
Yeah, right? let's go
fighters do not stray from what they do when they
Juan Miguel Marquez, who is just basically prepping to get ready for his fight versus Mayweather, and then Mayweather is the more exciting fighter because he's eating McDonald's fight week. And Manuel
going to the Louboutin store and spending 20-30 grand. Right.
But Marquez is leaving his family to come to Vegas, and that's like his storyline.
Well, that's
his
what
prep.
Connected me to Canelo is the fact that he had his daughter,
and but doesn't bring her in,
right?
For fights,
but the whole point is that there was that aspect to his backstory and the fact that he started young, like really young.
I've often said this, and Anthony might have heard me say this, but the what allures me to boxing and even MMA to that fact is that 99% of their career you never see. Like, Anthony was at the gym today, and I know Anthony was at the gym tomorrow, and I know Anthony is
Anthony
eating healthy.
Anthony was sitting on the hood of his car today.
Yeah.
Because he locked
everybody
his
who doesn't
keys.
Know. Yes.
And he's the only guy in the world with a Camaro that doesn't have OnStar.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's gonna be, not going to be a world champion. That, he's going to be a world champion.
That sound right there is a sound of utter defeat.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the only time you'll hear it from this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
I'm so stressed out today. So stressed out. I wasted it.
It's like my day has been F today. Oh.
We all have those days, Anthony. It's not
true.
Just you.
Yeah, it's good to see he's human. You know?
Right. Exactly. It just makes him human.
Right,
it's good
exactly.
to see that these things
makes
happen
you relatable.
To him too.
So what do you guys think? Brad will ask you, and who do you think Golovkin should fight next?
I think he has a chance at fighting Canelo. I think if Cotto somehow can pull off a win versus Canelo, I think Cotto probably runs off into the sunset.
Okay.
I think that for his age being in the mid-30s, I think Cotto took a lot more damage. In his early 20s, Canelo, he's going to be around for a while, he's peaking.
Right.
I expect Canelo to win that fight at this time.
Yeah.
I think Canelo's not afraid of anyone, and he showed that when he fought Mayweather. I think Kirkland, even though it's not the same Kirkland because he didn't have the same trainer or anything, I think Canelo's not scared of anyone. So I think you have a chance at Golovkin, Canelo. And you know what? Golovkin might not wait around. I'm still not convinced Mayweather's 100% retired, okay? I don't know what will it take. I tell you what it will take. May comes and goes. And if May comes and goes and he doesn't fight that first weekend, I might buy into he's finally retired.
Okay.
But there's something about Mayweather being as special as he is, and the old adage in Anthony's been around these people I'm talking about, that everybody takes one fight too many. Maybe Mayweather will make that mistake, or maybe a deal of 50-0 is great. I don't even know if he'd fight Golovkin because Golovkin's that scary. But you know what? It's the thought that until Mayweather – May comes and goes and we don't see Mayweather – then we can move on from that era. And I look at this really quickly because I know we got to move on to other stuff. I look at boxing like an ocean. You see that wave that's breaking the tide, and I'm talking the Pacquiao's and Mayweather, and that one's hitting your feet currently.
Right.
But we also see a wave in the distance, and that wave in the distance is the Golovkins, the Canelos and stuff, and we're waiting for that to wave. And then I look a little further, and we see a wave developing even further, and that's the Anthony Barnes, that's the Tony Harrisons, the people we talk about all the time.
Right.
And that's how boxing comes. Boxing superstars come, and they go. If Mayweather's officially done and Golovkin's ready to take this pound-for-pound title – I believe he has some candidates that aren't the typical – now let's not talk promotions who won't let him fight or anything.
Right.
I think he has people that will fight him, and I know for a fact Canelo is not afraid of anyone. So I think Golovkin Canelo, unless there's a chance of Mayweather maybe biting into that. Andre Ward, the big thing around the internet right now is that Golovkin didn't want to fight Andre Ward. I find that hard to believe, and I don't know if that's true because Andre Ward doesn't pose any threat to Golovkin.
Right.
In fact, that he might be outboxed. But Andre Ward has no knockout power, and that would be bad news, I think, for
but
Andre
you know what,
Ward.
Though? I mean, the size difference, it could make a huge difference because Golovkin's a small middleweight.
He is.
And Ward's – right now he's going up to light heavyweight.
Right.
That's a big gap. It's a huge gap. And, like, he might not have punching power at super middleweight, but maybe definitely not light heavyweight. But if you go down, you know, 2-3 weight classes, that's a lot of extra power that you didn't have before.
So what do you see playing out, Golovkin?
Yeah.
Just, I mean, there's no right or wrong answer.
I don't think Golovkin should fight Ward, because I think it's just not. I think Ward should fight Adonis and Kovalev and people like that in his weight class. I think the smart thing for Golovkin would do is to make his image better and bigger. Fight Canelo, fight Cotto. Does win or lose, you fight both of them, and then obviously fight Andy Lee and unify all the titles, WBC and WBO. If he's going to beat Andy Lee. But I think Andy Lee actually has a really good chance of beating him. I think Golovkin will definitely beat Canelo and definitely beat Cotto. They're come-forward fighters, and they're not as defensive, and they definitely can't punch like him. I think Andy Lee can box him at a distance, and Andy can definitely punch. I'm not even doing it because...
They're similar fighters. They really are.
Andy's taller. Andy's a big middleweight.
Besides the late starts, Andy Lee is a similar fighter.
Yes. And you know what? And you can't even say, like, Andy doesn't even, like, box well in the beginning. Because if you look at him against, like, Chavez, he was beating Chavez all up until he got caught.
Right.
So, and Triple G is not Chavez. He's not nearly as big. Chavez was a full-blown light heavyweight that night. So, and Golovkin will never be a full-blown light heavyweight. So, I don't know.
We got somebody that wants to call in. What is the number if they want to call in?
There's a three in it.
There's a three in it.
I think there's a
nine-digit number.
I think there's another three.
It's
on you guys.
What's that?
It's on you guys.
Yeah.
So. The show prep is amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome here.
Well, you can't. Hours. We can't do show prep if you never give us anything to prep.
Oh! He right.
That's okay, Jamie.
I'm trying to look it up here.
I say, isn't there like a card out in the other room? You just grab
no,
it?
There could be.
Not really.
I don't know. There's a three.
But yeah, we got two people now that want to talk boxing, so that's cool. I don't want to.
Aaron knows your phone number.
All right. No. Call this number. I got it. It is 248-579-5295.
I have someone calling.
That number again.
Calling
248.
All right.
579-5295. You can do it, Rochelle. This is the first time Rochelle's ever taken a call, everybody.
Hello, welcome to the undercard.
Hey, Brad, it's Aaron. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. Way to go, Rochelle.
I called that one.
All right, we got Anthony Barnes here, so we know we got the boxing insider of an up-and-comer, and then we got me, who's just a fan like you. What did you think?
I was surprised that Lemieux got hit that much. You know, I knew he was going to stand in front of him, but I didn't think he'd get hit that much. Am I surprised he got stopped? No. I called it around the sixth round. It happened around, what, the eighth?
Yeah,
eighth round.
You know, I was listening to you guys, and I'm listening to how would you market Triple G. And to you guys all kind of hit on most of it. The guy has had a horrible life. I don't know if you know that or not.
He had both his brothers died.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I jumped in the show pretty late. I mean, they could focus on that all day long, but I think he's a European fighter. So until he steps in, like Anthony said, until he steps in and beats a Cotto and a Canelo, that's when his star will rise. Mayweather will never go near him. And I'm waiting. I heard your comments on the wave. And all that. I'm waiting for that wave to go away. I'm tired of all those guys.
You're waiting for it to leave your feet and back out in the ocean. Right.
Yeah, but I'm a fan like you guys. So I'm waiting for it to, because I see all these fighters that I want to see and make it so let May come and go and let them all those guys go with it. But what I think is going to happen, I think Mayweather's going to fight Pacquiao again.
Oh, God, that would suck. It really would because, you know, Top Rank just doesn't even know where Pacquiao is or what his conditions are. I don't know. And whether Freddie Roach buys into that training camp again, I don't know. But Anthony brought up a good point. He'd like to see him fight Andy Lee. I know you're a huge Andy Lee fan. Who do you want him to see? Do you want him to wait out the Cotto thing? Because I tell you what, I believe Canelo will go after Golovkin, I believe. I'm sorry, Canelo will fight Golovkin if he wins. If Cotto somehow pulls out, and it would be an upset against Canelo, I don't think Cotto touches Golovkin. So who do you like?
I honestly think, I don't think he's, I don't think Cotto's, to me, I'm a Cotto fan, but I just think he's past his prime. And the last few fights he had, I mean, to me, you and I discussed about Martinez. Martinez was shot to me going into that fight.
Right.
And
you
that
called
put
it.
Him on that upper level. And then he fought a couple guys that weren't even on his level. You know, they were kind of C-level fighters. So he's going in against Canelo. I think Canelo's going to knock him out within six rounds. It's going to be stopped. Cotto's too proud of a guy. I mean, he'll take a beating. Cotto's too proud of a guy. Canelo is he wants to fight Triple G, if you ask me. I don't know him personally. You guys got a lot more insight on it than I do, but I believe that's the super fight that should happen, and I think he should fight Andy Lee after that. But you want my honest opinion? I believe Triple G retires undefeated.
Now, Anthony brought up the weight difference between Ward and Golovkin. Is that something that would worry you as a Golovkin fan? Because I know you're a Golovkin fan.
Yeah, you know what? The only way it would worry me is if Golovkin moved up to like a light heavyweight, if he moved up that much weight. I don't think he ever would. I think he would beat Andre Ward. I think he'd outbox him, to be honest with you. But like Anthony said, I want to see Kovalev and Andre Ward. You know, I want to see him go into the light heavyweight division. I personally think Ward's kind of a dirty fighter. I want to see what he can do up in that division against the top-notch guys. I think Kovalev stops him. There's a couple other guys out there that I'd like to see fight him, but, you know, I don't even like talking about Andre Ward because he doesn't fight.
Exactly.
I don't even consider him in the top 10.
You know what? From my perspective as a fan, when he took – I dropped him out of my pound-for-pound rankings. When you're not fighting, how can I even have you in there? And I know he was doing his broadcasting thing and stuff like that, but you're not even an exciting fighter to begin with no knockout power, and then you decide to take over a year off? I can't handle that. I can't respect that.
Right, and you mentioned that, you know, they wanted to fight Triple G. I think Triple G would have took that fight.
That's the rumor out there, and I don't believe that rumor because Golovkin, he's been looking for someone to bait, and Max Kellerman said it the best with the HBO face-off. He believes Golovkin purposely backs off fighters to goat fighters into fighting him. Why would he – what's the scare in Ward? There's no scare that you might be outpointed. There's no scare.
There's no scare, but honestly, I think he just – he's a middleweight, and I think he wants to unify all the titles and then move on, do the next best thing.
Right. Do you have any other questions for Anthony while you have him on the line? We appreciate you calling in, too.
Yeah, when are you fighting again, man?
hopefully in the next, like, month and a half. Hopefully before
You know where or
Christmas.
No?
If I were to guess, I would say California or Las Vegas.
Well, I can't come out there and see it, but I'll watch it. So give me a break.
It'll be on Top Rank TV.
It'll be on Top Rank TV, and you know what? We've had the blessed privilege of being around Barnes even more, and we know he's been working, training really hard. So we're just waiting for the fight and everything like that. And we'll if we're here, we'll throw a party. We're gonna try to get out there and support him though as he continues.
We should totally take a road trip to California.
He posts his training on social media, and it hurts just to watch you, man.
No, and you know what the scariest thing about Anthony is? He's the smartest fighter in the ring, too. So, like, he knows his shit, too. So, like, you get that with talent, that means something. And you know, that Mayweather, as many people knock Mayweather was always the smartest person in the ring. So that brings something to it, you know? So, hey, really quickly, do you think Mayweather's done?
Nope, I never thought he was done to begin with. He's too proud of a guy.
He's got Bentley payments
you know,
to make.
I'm over him, to be honest with you. I've always respected him as a fighter. I've been watching him for, God, I don't know how long now. And I just know I think he's going to fight Pacquiao again, or he's going to go back to a rematch, one of those guys in the past, whoever it might be.
He's gonna
I don't know, but I think he will fight Pacquiao again. I think that's the big draw. I mean, look at you guys are talking about his marketing. Really quick, I mean, I'm in the bar the other day, and some kid walks by me with a money hat on.
Probably never watches boxing either.
Yeah, and I asked him who the middleweight champion was, and he told me Pacquiao.
Oh, boy.
I got to go. I'm not even going to get this conversation with you. Because I'm all about the money team, dog, and I'm like, oh, my Lord. I got to go. So,
well,
it was good chat with you guys, and keep me in the loop with your fight, Anthony. We'll definitely check you out.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. Thank you very much for calling.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, well, we covered boxing for a little bit. I just want to touch really basically, really quick on a roundtable, and then we got to go to our top 10 movie picks over the last 2 weeks because we ran out of time. So Ronda Rousey had a mural done. Who paid for the mural?
Dana White
and one of the two brothers who financed UFC.
Yeah, and
Lorenzo.
I actually thought it was kind of really cool.
It's not cool. Because here's the thing. You're supposed to be freaking neutral, okay? And Holly Holm, if you're Holly Holm and you see that stuff. No. If you're Holly Holm, and this is a problem I have with UFC, and I'm going to bang the drum one more effing time, right? If you're supposed to be effing neutral, right? You want a fair fight. How are you supporting? And we know they want Ronda to win because it's a cash cow.
Yeah.
Then how is it not freaking biased?
It is, of course it's biased, but everybody
down to hotel rooms, down to travel arrangements,
knows
down
it's
to
biased.
Stuff.
It's not
the
like
mural
it's a
makes
secret.
Me mad, dude. I'm serious. If I was Holly Holm, it would motivate me. Not like she has a chance.
You know what? One thing though, she cannot overlook Holly Holm. If she can standing up.
Yeah.
She is dangerous.
Judo toss. And then like
judo flip.
Exactly. The only thing she could maybe hope for, and I wouldn't want to see this, but in the event that Ronda could get injured in the fight, you never know. It's a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But as we come up on this, you know, the UFC's whole way they approach their superstars, whether it be Conor McGregor and stuff, if I'm the opponent of these people, I'm freaking mad, dude. I would be like, look, you're supposed to best fighter win, and we're both employees. But that's not the way they go. And I wanted to touch base really quickly on it, and maybe we could take 2 hours on this show. But Rochelle found an article in which a guy wrote an editorial that maybe Dana White was to resign or something, or what it would mean. And I want to get on record here and be part of PodcastDetroit.com above the Activate Studios. Falling down. I'm drinking Falling Down beer. I'm going on record right here.
He's about to fall down.
In Detroit Sound Studios.
No, I'm going on record right now. I don't want Dana White to leave. The sport will be boring without him. It doesn't mean I can't have issues with his imperfections and the way he treats some people. And I think that them doing this mural for Ronda, which is for the right reason, because it was in her hometown and all the right reasons, but you're supposed to be a little bit more non-biased. And that's my only issue with it. You guys might not have issues with it.
I was just
but
saying
I've
it
seen
was,
it forever.
It was beautifully done.
Okay, that's fine.
As an art piece.
So you like the artist.
Right. Not,
that's fine.
Not the fact that it's her.
I guess
right.
I
don't like her.
I guess
her.
I would say really, I mean, when you get right down to it, what's the difference between doing that and putting up a billboard for a fighter? It's marketing. You're marketing it. You're marketing the fight.
They weren't marketing the fight. They were marketing her.
No, the marketing the fighter. You're marketing the fighter. She is like a huge draw right now. She's their biggest fighter.
Well, and you know what? She has the talent. And so I'm okay with that. Conor McGregor, I question his talent. So I'm not okay with that. But if you're Holly Holm and you're in the fight of your life, and as Barnes says, she's a great boxer, but if it gets taken to the ground, she's done within seconds. That's not fair to her before her November 12th / whatever day it is because it's in Australia. It's not fair to her to have the backing organization do something like that.
Oh, agreed.
Why not market them both? So
exactly.
Win or lose, they both have careers beyond this.
Go paint a mural of Holly Holm somewhere, too.
Yeah, but because we know the fact that he always favors her.
He
yeah.
favors everybody.
Everybody
that
knows,
he likes.
Everybody
exactly,
knows
that's
Ronda,
what I mean.
Too.
I mean...
Well, you know what? Like, Holly Holmes is definitely marketable. She's not ugly.
No,
so
maybe
why not
maybe it gives her
too?
Maybe it gives her, like, that extra push to, you know, to work harder.
And after this fight, you can still have people following her to go fight all these other ugly chicks that are that are still in the UFC. So why not have the good-looking girl against the ugly chicks and just
Anthony,
keep doing that?
That is sexist.
Yeah, but you know what?
Ugly,
it makes money.
Ugly broads is the appropriate term.
It makes
all
it
right.
makes
the
money.
Appropriate. You cannot call broads chicks. They hate that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
All right. Ugly whatever. Broads.
Oh. All right, like we're going to transition really quick before our break. Last week we missed top 10 movies of what, Jimmy?
Last week was paranormal possession movies.
But it kind of works today because
this
we have 313 Paranormal coming up in less than 10 minutes.
And this week is top 10 monster movies. So do you want to do the first, like last week's roundtable and then go to this week's, or do you want to just do both at the same time?
Let's do paranormal first because we got 313 coming up, and then we'll do monsters at the end of paranormal.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so for me, top 10 paranormal possession movies in no particular order, The Taking of Deborah Logan, The Exorcist, The Conjuring, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, The Rite, The Haunting in Connecticut, Paranormal Activity, Stigmata, The Omen, and Devil.
Okay.
The kid from Omen freaks me out. Exorcist will always be one of the scariest movies. I like your list, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I don't know the first one.
The Taking of Deborah Logan. Yep. It's on Netflix. Watch it.
I don't have Netflix.
Oh.
You should get Netflix.
I just got Netflix.
You should get Netflix.
See, I don't
it is a
that.
Really good Netflix movie.
It's a B fantastic. Movie with Jenna Jameson. Have you not seen it?
No, hey. That's not who's in it.
I think I've seen all of her stuff.
Yeah. All right. Marv?
All right, paranormal. So I will go in order.
Okay.
So number 10 is Poltergeist, the 1982 version.
Which I learned a little bit about that, not to interrupt too much. Spielberg wrote it, but because of contractual obligations, he wanted to direct it. He did E.T.
Yep.
His contract wouldn't allow him to direct it. But the original director was the guy that directed Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
So not bad.
Yes.
Number
9, Scrooged.
Oh, my God.
Bill Murray. That is, yeah.
Wow.
All right, okay. Technically, yes.
And then actually, and then also A Christmas Carol, the this is. Okay. I have to admit, it's one of my guilty pleasures. The animated Disney version with Jim Carrey.
Okay,
I could watch that over and over again.
All right, technically you're right.
The Sixth Sense.
Okay.
Cool. The Ring.
Okay.
Or Ringu, if
yeah,
you want
Ringu.
The original Rebecca, yeah, which is a Hitchcock film.
Yeah.
Rebecca, great. Which oddly enough,
I have never seen it.
It is my favorite Hitchcock movie.
I like the birds.
It's so well. I don't want to give anything away. So okay. Rebecca's great. Yeah. The Others,
okay.
Also fantastic. Yeah. Great twist. Good. The Shining, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Beetlejuice.
Awesome. Yeah.
And Ghostbusters.
He's going.
And number
He's going
one,
super paranormal. There.
And number one, Ghostbusters.
All right.
Hey. I gotta ask you really quick. As I bounce stuff off you, Sixth Sense. Did you know the ending? Did you see it early enough that someone didn't reveal the ending?
Oh yeah.
Here's the thing. I suspected it at a few. Points.
At dinner.
Well, dinner, and then I was noticing all the red, like that everything like he interacted with was like red, and you know what I mean? Like there's that element to
yeah.
it. Like the doorknob is red.
Yeah.
And, like, so I was like, okay, that's meaning something.
Yeah.
And then there were just a few points where I was like, maybe it is, but he did a good job.
Yeah.
Like veering me away from it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until really the end of it where I was like, holy crap, he didn't interact with anybody.
Wait, hold
but
on.
That. Oh.
Have you all seen it?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody knows. I was like, he didn't interact with anybody but that kid.
Just checking on you.
You know, I I projected that he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when he's it just cuts to him sitting with the mom.
Right.
Well, you
right.
just assume they had been.
They
talking.
Had a conversation.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You don't know that for sure.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So. What?
And you know what? I gotta crush her really quick over there, Rochelle. Every once in a while, I gotta put the foot down here really quick. Donnie Wahlberg kills Bruce Willis in that film.
He sure does.
He does.
He sure does.
A bad Donnie
like,
Wahlberg.
He was like a gangly Donnie
oh
Wahlberg.
My yes. He lost like 40 pounds or something for that. Yeah.
He was getting
so
into that role.
He sure was.
He's done a lot of horror movies,
role.
Though. That is one of the three horror movies that he has done.
Least talented Wahlberg.
What? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
What?
All right. Yep.
Anyway.
All right.
Agreed.
Rochelle,
continue.
You have
them.
Okay. So my paranormal, I'm going to start from 10.
Yep.
First one is Let the Right One In.
Okay.
Okay. I like the original a lot better than the new one. The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
The Conjuring.
Mm-hmm. You have to talk into the microphone.
The Conjuring.
There you
yes.
go.
Ghost Story with Fred Astaire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Amityville Horror.
Okay.
And
that's a good one.
See
now the original one.
It's got to be original. Oh,
or do you like the Ryan Reynolds one?
It's Ryan Reynolds.
The original one's
crazy. Oh, Ryan, right. Hey, he's chopping wood.
Yeah, you're chopping wood. He's chopping wood.
I do the Omen.
He's giving her a lady wood.
Hey, the Omen.
She about flood her basement.
Paranormal Activity.
Yep.
Just because I went and seen it on the first night. That it came out.
Yeah, me too.
So
yeah.
I had not heard anything. And when we were calling our friend to tell them about it, I couldn't listen to the description of the movie because I was so freaked out. I'm like, I can't even hear it. I can't go through it again.
Okay.
So I haven't watched it again
Nadaski
since.
Was just chopping wood over there.
Number 3, The Ring.
Uh-huh.
Number 2, Poltergeist. And, of course, as always, Reagan with The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Exorcist is amazing.
It is the best paranormal movie
absolutely.
Ever.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Still scares me to death to see her face.
That staircase, I got to go see that one time in my lifetime that he falls down. Adam the Woo went. Adam the Woo, if you don't know him, follow him at adamthewoo.com. But that staircase really does exist.
Yes, it does.
But what a great movie.
Again, it's one of those movies that there's a lot of backstory behind the filming of it. of all the things that happened while like they were filming
like
it.
The real
well, Poltergeist.
Poltergeist as well.
The rumor is a lot of people have had problems, obviously.
Yeah. Well, they've died. They died, right?
Yeah, there's been the curse.
It.
They used real dead bodies in the pool. The pool scene where like there was skeletons.
Those are real?
Those are real skeletons.
Yeah, like they went and
that's
going to
cause some problems.
Well, exactly.
Well, it already has. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, go ahead, dig them up. You can use them. You ain't going to send any good
news. All right, so now we're going around.
Who's next? You guys didn't do them.
No, we didn't do them.
Okay, so now we're going to monster movies?
No, we're
going
to do monster movies at the end.
Oh, at the end, okay.
We're going to go to our break. Stick around. Right. Jason Nadaski from 313 Paranormal. We've actually been on ghost hunts with him if you're new to the show. The real stuff. So get you in the Halloween mood. We're going to have the Ring Girls ask some questions. And Anthony, first time, I believe, with Jason Nadaski, you're going to be mind blown.
Jason sent me a picture that we'll talk about. And we'll post.
We're going to post
it.
We'll
post it in a bit. Yeah. But we're going to talk about it. It seriously is one of the best pictures I've seen. I'm not saying what it is. It's one of the best pictures I've seen.
All right, it's break time. Vegas needs a refill.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Yay.
Welcome back to The Undercard. It's officially episode 161. We are 161 episodes old. And joining us, we have Jason Nadaski from 313 Paranormal.
Oh, that's better.
There we go. We have him from 313. Well, I guess I should go through the intro again. We have Jason Nadaski from 313 Paranormal.
He's back.
Us. I know, 213
Society.
First off, we got to give him huge thanks. He wasn't feeling well earlier, but he still trooped it out and joined us. So
that's a professional right there.
Marv, fill us in. Where we leave off last week?
Oh, all right. So, we kind of rehashed some of the places that they had been and talked about on earlier shows. Jason brought some EVPs that we had some technical difficulty with, but I think we heard a few good ones.
And
I think he's brought some more. We're going to try some different technology this time to see if we can to hear him well. I want to talk about this picture that you sent.
Okay.
As I mentioned before our break, Jason sent me a picture from Waverly Hills Sanatorium. And where's that at again? Remind me.
It's in Kentucky.
Kentucky. Okay, that's the one in Kentucky. All right. So
it up on our Facebook.
It's not up there yet. I wanted to talk about it a little bit first. But it seriously is one of the best captures I've ever seen. Like, other than ones where you look at that and go, oh, that is clearly fake.
What was the equipment you used for that?
Infrared digital still camera.
Okay.
So that was infrared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Infrared.
So I mean, you can see that it's dark, you know, grays and stuff. Yeah. But, I mean, if you just showed me the picture and didn't say, like, where you took it or whatever, I would say, oh, there's a person sitting there, a person standing there, and like you move the camera a little bit so they're a little blurry.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like right. I would just clearly
your
say I would
open.
See it and go like, "Oh, those are people."
Right.
Right.
You know, but really there was nobody there that you saw. Right?
No, there was nobody there but myself.
And so, yeah, so
and it's completely unaltered. I didn't lighten it, I didn't darken it. That's exactly the way it came off.
He's an honest man.
It's amazing. I'll have it up here in a couple minutes. People can go take a look at it. But this was at Waverly. So tell us a little bit about Waverly.
Waverly, it was a sanatorium. It was mainly a TB hospital where thousands and thousands of people lost their lives due to the disease.
Right.
There was also insane. You know, it became an insane asylum, a poorhouse. Unfortunately, there was children that were also there because their parents were there. Mm-hmm. They had no one to look after them. Some were born there. Mm. And where this picture was is on the fifth floor, and on the fifth floor there's a story behind that one. Children would also be on that floor.
Mm-hmm.
There was a long time ago, there used to be playground equipment, like a swing set, and mm-hmm. they would swing and whatnot. Well, on the fifth floor, there was a nurse in room 502, and as the story goes, she was, now mind you, this was way back in the day,
mm-hmm.
she happened to become pregnant out of wedlock with alleged doctor that was in the hospital.
Oh.
So she couldn't handle, you know, she was dealing with that and just couldn't handle it. So she ended up committing suicide in that room 502.
This is the room where you took the picture?
Well, I was outside on the porch area, like in between, looking towards the room.
Okay.
So if you look at that picture and you look down where you see that other image down in the doorway, that was the outside doorway to 502.
Okay, so that's – okay, gotcha. So that where the person is standing in that doorway, that is 502.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Now, there's also – there's another story where she kind of did it outside of room 502 in the one of the hallways there, but I'm not really sure which story is which, but the bottom line is she ended up committing suicide.
So, Jimmy, do we have the picture up now?
The picture is up now.
Okay, so if you go to our Facebook, you can see the picture. So what you'll see is down in the foreground of the picture, kind of bottom, as you're looking at the picture, bottom right, your right, there's a person that almost looks like they're maybe sitting on something.
Yeah.
And Jason said that there is sort of a ledge there. And then up in the doorway that he was just talking about to room 502, there is what appears to be another person standing. Now, do you think that is the nurse?
I think it's possible. Uh-huh. I'm not sure who it is.
I was going to say, looking at it, I mean, I'm looking at it again. I've looked at this multiple times, but it actually looks like the person in the doorway is wearing a dress.
Yes. It does. Right.
Yes. Well, can we back it up just 1 second? I kind of picture you as like Fox Mulder from X-Files. So like you take a picture like this. You have to exercise every possible what it could be.
Exactly.
So you get this image. What did you – how did you come to your conclusion that it might be something? Well, like, how did you go backwards on
it? Well, I made sure nobody was on the other side of the – like where we were on the outside of a – on a porch. And then there's another porch on the opposite side, and there's a room in between both porches. So what I did is I verified and made sure that wasn't a reflection of anybody that was standing on the other side of the window. And everybody was – I was the only one on that side of the building at the time. So I knew it wasn't a reflection. I knew it wasn't a shadow of anyone else. It wasn't my shadow because there was no light source coming from behind me. It just – I couldn't debunk it whatsoever. So I can't – I've put it out there and left it up for debate. You know, some people chop it, and that's fine. I'm all for it, but I can't debunk it myself.
So when you were there, what did you see? Like, did you see anything, or was it just when the image was taken?
Yeah, just when the image was taken. I didn't actually see that with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. Not at all. And when I saw it on camera, I'm like, oh, what is this?
So no shadows or anything?
No, I didn't even have any EMF spikes or anything that would, elude me to think that something's going on right here. So it was just a picture.
So what makes an image like this, like if it is indeed a spirit, like why do they show up in photography but not like to the naked eye?
Because they, they're on different spectrums of they're in different spectrums of light that the human eye just cannot see. Okay. A lot of times we'll use full spectrum too, which covers all the spectrums of light, and then that just happens to be ultraviolet.
Okay.
I'm sorry, infrared.
Yeah, gotcha.
Apologize.
Off to sort of like the – do you have the picture in front of you? Are you looking at it?
No, but it's – okay,
but you know it. So yeah. Kind of off to the – like our left.
Yes.
There's like some weird like little light squiggles. Any idea? Like that
on the brick wall itself?
Is that what that is over there?
I believe that's just kind of like matrixing. There was something on the brick itself.
Okay. It's an awesome pick. Like I said, it's one of the.
I've had some. I posted it on our Facebook page, and I've had some psychics message me saying that they can see multiple people in the photo themselves.
Okay. What are some of the people that are kind of detractors or debunkers of it? What explanations are they giving for it?
They're saying they say it could be a bug.
That's a big bug.
That's what I think.
Yeah,
Jeff Goldblum in the fly.
Honestly, if that's a bug, I would be more worried about that giant bug.
Or they were saying it was a reflection. It had to have been somebody on the other side of the glass.
Okay.
Which nobody was. I made sure of that.
Yeah.
But anytime you put your evidence out there, it's going to get chopped.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way it is. For one, it's so hard to comment on another photo because you weren't there.
Sure.
To understand everything that was going on, the weather, it could have, there's all kinds of things. So
is this like the best pick you've gotten?
That's by far my best photo I've ever captured.
Okay.
Ever.
I can see why.
And I mean, I've taken thousands and thousands of pictures.
Yeah.
I've never had anything.
You should frame it and hang it up.
Put it on a t-shirt.
It's a great photo.
And how long ago was this taken? When was this?
A couple years ago.
A couple years
ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
We want to move on. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, really quickly. Is photo evidence better than like EVP, or what in your field when you're trying to get people to believe? What's the better evidence?
Well, what you're wanting to do is not just one piece. Like, you want to try to a combination of the multiple different things that court. Like, okay, I got a picture. Okay, I got an electromagnetic field increase. Mm-hmm. You know, you want multiple pieces validating what's going on, opposed to just one thing.
Sure.
You know, you capture a picture, but nothing else. You don't capture any voices or any mm-hmm. EMFs, or, you know, nothing else goes on. So that's what you're doing. You're really wanting to get multiple.
So as far as investigations go, so you're 313 Paranormal.
Society.
I know. You know what?
So what falls under the realm of paranormal for you? Like, what do you only investigate, like, hauntings at places? I mean, like, would you track a Bigfoot into the woods?
Would you check out
UFO sightings?
I would. Bigfoot.
I mean,
yeah.
we're interested in all aspects of the paranormal.
Have you done any investigations like that?
I haven't had a chance to get out and do any Bigfoot.
Like Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. Yeah, haven't done any of that. I haven't had a chance to do any of it, but I would jump on the opportunity if it ever came
up. If you
about.
Do, let me know. Yeah. I am so down.
Absolutely. Well, I mean,
ridiculous. Cool.
You want to fight at Barnes? You want to fight a Sasquatch?
No, I want to capture it.
Is there Sasquatch season? Like a certain season, like deer season?
No, I wouldn't say that. No, I wouldn't say that.
Tell Jimmy to shut up.
Seriously.
We're in the mix of Sasquatch season, as you can hear Jimmy giving the calls over.
If you come up, you come over this way and.
But be real quiet, because we got a show going on.
So, Jason, I got to ask you, because you're moving up in the field here really quick.
Hear me.
I'm continuing the conversation. I'm ignoring Jimmy over there.
Hey, look, she couldn't hear me. I was trying to help somebody out.
You're coming up in the field of, paranormal and stuff like that. Let's talk about some steps. Like, where are you guys? Are you guys a reputable source now? Are you guys a group that people join? Or are people leaning on you for scientific evidence? Or are you guys debunking stuff now? Where are you guys at?
3 years and Brad's still learning how to use a microphone.
Well, we kind of do all of that. We do open it up from time to time when we're looking for investigators. We always go in trying to debunk first, and then we also, I would say, science would come into play. Psychology will come into play. I would like to believe that we're valid. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard anyone really badmouth us, but I'm sure they're out there. But that goes on.
Haters
everywhere.
Gonna hate.
They do.
Haters gonna
but,
hate.
But I like to think that we're valid and. We're open to investigate anything and everything.
How many investigations can you estimate, or maybe you know exactly? How many investigations have you guys done? More than 20?
I would say so.
Less than 1,000?
I would say more than 20. Definitely more than 20, less than 1,000, yeah.
Less than 100? More than 100?
No. I don't think we've done more than 100. I mean, there's groups out there that have done thousands.
Sure.
You know, but we're relatively new. I mean, mm-hmm. We're learning as we go. I really don't believe there's a true expert in this field.
Well, sure, yeah.
There's experienced. I like to use that term, experienced.
Yeah.
You know, but an expert,
How many would you say you do for private people, you know, hey, we got something going on here?
You know, we get quite a bit of messages saying, like, oh, we got something going on. And then as soon as what you want, like what I do is I ask them to start keeping a journal.
Sure.
And a lot of them start to fade away because they don't want to do any work, any work. Or some people, they'll even go that far, and then you schedule an investigation date. You come out, and they don't answer the door, or they're not there, or they'll cancel on you that night.
Oh, too scared.
You know, so you got your team that are making arrangements, some with kids and, work plans, and, you're trying to accommodate the resident, the client, and it just work out. But we've done a few, and we've had some that were pretty crazy. You know, some people that just weren't there.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever like sort of like maybe not gathered, like not gotten any evidence or anything.
Oh, absolutely.
And just like the people are just like, you can tell they're just like disappointed. Do they get angry with you?
Absolutely.
Or?
Yeah. Yeah. We've had that.
Who would be disappointed that there is no activity in their house? They would just
Right.
No, because they think their cells are crazy.
I can finally sleep.
I'd rather
sleep.
Be crazy.
And when that does happen, I try to explain to them the best I can. Is, you know, we're here for 3-4 hours. You know, one of the questions we get asked a lot is how long will this take?
Mm-hmm.
I can't put a time limit on it. I really can't.
Yeah.
So it's hard to give them a time frame, but I say we can come in for a few hours, see what goes on, and if anything, you know, comes about, we can come back. And there's been a lot of times where we've gone a couple times and just absolutely nothing has came up, but they'd be angry about it.
Yeah.
And I'd explain to them, it's like, look, you know, you live here. You're here way more than we are. I mean, and what? Just because we didn't capture anything, I'm not discrediting what you're saying.
Sure.
I believe you. You know, you're saying this and this and this is going on. It's just we didn't capture any of it. So, I mean, we're more than willing to come back at any time.
Has anybody experienced anything that they've taken with them afterwards? Anything?
Like an attachment kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
There's been a couple of our investigators that they believe something may have followed them home.
Is it more of the sensitives?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yep. I think Christy's mentioned that.
Yeah,
she's like, no.
And Dave, our video guy, he's had a couple. He's on the sensitive side as well. Not as strong, but
are there protections you can like do to like prevent that? Or
you can say prayers and you know. You got to be mind strong.
Yeah.
And, but I really don't believe there's any.
They're just going to attach.
I mean, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God I haven't had any issues with it.
So we've gone on ghost hunts with you, and there's definitely some believers in the room because we've been with you. But when people talk ghosts, is there a spectrum, a range? Is every ghost the same, or what are you looking for? So for our listeners that are new to this, is every ghost a ghost? What else is there in the realm of possible paranormal that you might be investigating? Is a ghost a ghost, or is there other stuff out there?
There's other stuff out there. You do have your spirits. You have your poltergeists. You have elementals. You have, Yeah, there's a few different ones out there. I'm trying to think of the other term. But
well, you also got your residual haunts,
right?
You got your imprints
and your intelligence,
right?
And that's basically what we're in there to figure out what's going. You know, we figure out if it's a residual, which a lot of times they are.
I don't know what that is.
And what is a residual?
A residual haunt is kind of like a record playing over like a series, an event.
So they're not aware that you're there.
No, they don't show. No, they just go about. You know, whatever it was at that point in time, and
they continue their day as though they were still there.
Right, like you know, in a poltergeist kind of haunting, things tend to move. They make a lot of noise.
Well, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but usually a poltergeist has to do with it's not so much a spirit that's doing it; it's the
individual.
It's an individual, a living individual, usually a troubled child or a troubled teen, who's manifesting their issues into physical forms, moving things, throwing things off the walls, like things of that nature. So it's less supernatural, or I should say it's less paranormal, but more supernatural. If supernatural means something beyond natural.
Carol Ann was not disturbed as a child. Sorry.
Right.
You don't know. You don't know what. You don't
she was
know
a
what.
Very happy child.
You don't know what her life was like before that movie.
That kid was crazy.
And Jason, I don't know if you heard. We did our top 10 paranormal movies and stuff like that. And they're talking about obviously Carol Ann from Poltergeist, but exorcisms. You've obviously covered this for a little bit. What is your thoughts on exorcisms? And I mean, they
have you ever been a part of any?
No, I've never ever been a part of one. I actually only know one person that ever has.
We do have a phone call. I'm not sure if we should answer it, but let's do it anyway.
Let's try it.
Go ahead.
Ignore
are we
listener.
Good? Do we have him?
Where are you located?
Hello. You're on the undercard.
Hi. Who's this?
It's Christy. How are you?
Hi, Christy. What's going on?
I was like, they said my name. I got
to
call them.
Yeah, well, you absolutely have to. So Christy is a member of the team of yep. 313 Paranormal mm-hmm. Society. Christy, tell us, tell us your, kind of your role on the team.
What's that?
Tell us your role on the team.
I'm a sensitive.
Okay. What does that mean?
I don't physically see things. I feel things. Okay. I hear things. Okay.
And when you say,
I don't know.
When you say you feel like you hear it, like so we hear people say that a lot. Like they heard a voice or they felt like you hear it as like I would hear Jimmy crying like a little bitch. Or
sometimes.
Like you hear like, or is it more like it's like
poor Jimmy?
Like
dude,
it's
seriously.
Like more like it's in your head, or does it actually sound like it's an external thing?
It's different every time.
Okay.
Sometimes it's actually like I hear it physically, but other times it's just kind of knowing.
Okay.
I'm hearing something.
Has anyone else in your family had this, or is it just you?
Yes. Yes, my mom, grandma, great grandma, my oldest daughter.
Wow, so it's passed
maternally.
Down. And
yep.
And how long have you how long have you known, or did it start to manifest at a specific time in your life, or has it just kind of always been there?
It's always been there.
Okay. So you remember as a little girl, like you would feel these things and hear these things
and see, yep. And, yep, I mean, would see things move.
Did it scare you at that point, or was this kind of like that's what happens?
I just assumed it was what everybody saw.
Okay.
I guess.
She was the weird kid.
I was gonna say she's the normal one. We're all weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. Well, my oldest daughter hasn't done it since she was really little, and we were just at this family hotel, and it kicked it right back in.
Really?
Yep.
So you can, like, walk into a place, and you'll just feel, like, that there's...
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Most of the time.
Okay. What's, like, if we'll say most haunted or most... Like, the place you've gone to where you were just, like this place is full of, you know, spirits or whatever...
Ohio State Reformatory was pretty hefty.
Yeah. And was it, did you feel, was it a lot of negative?
Yeah.
It was?
You didn't bring any home, did you?
No, thank goodness, no.
Yeah, wow.
No, it was very, very oppressive, and yeah, that was rough. And the Stanley is bad.
Really?
It's horrible.
Now, on the other side of that, what about, like good experiences? Have you had some good experiences? Good encounters?
Yeah, my brother passed a few years ago, and he visits me regularly.
Really?
Aww. Yep.
That's fair.
Yep, we capture him in pictures, and he messes with my hair. And
I
didn't know until I talked to another psychic. She said, do you feel something in your hair? And I was like, yeah, all the time. She's like, that's your brother. Oh. Like, I just thought I had spiders.
Wow.
I thought you meant spiders.
Well, yeah, he's throwing the spiders in your hair.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Christy, if you don't mind staying on with us for a little bit in answering questions that we have for Jason, we'd love to have you on.
Yeah, no problem. I'm here.
Perfect. Awesome. I did want to ask you guys really quickly. It's Halloween time, and so every bar, every restaurant that's been open since 1930 and beyond is having ghost hunts. What's the danger in somebody with not your experiences having ghost hunts like this where they're trying to summon spirits to raise a little bit of money? And I want you to give a shout out to your legit one on October 30th. But I've noticed, because it's popular right now, my Facebook feed's filled with people that have no experience trying to conjure the spirits. Tell us, A, the dangerous, and then B, your event.
Well, it is a dangerous thing. Everybody starts somewhere, but it also depends on your intent. You know, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to help, or are you just poking fun and mocking the spirits?
The dangers of the Ouija board.
I mean, right. I mean, there's things that can become attached to an individual, and it can go anywhere from just a string of bad luck to even, I hate to even say it, but it's possible, is death. Wow. You know, you really got to know, it's not fun and games. We do have our fun, but we're also serious at the same time. You know, we all know, we're all aware of the dangers. I wish others would heed to those dangers, but I wouldn't tell anyone to not do it, but just be aware of what may happen. But other than that, yeah, we do have a ghost hunt on October 30th, which is Devil's Night, and it's going on at the Old Mill in Dundee, Michigan. This is the public's opportunity to come out and hunt along the side of us and learn what we do and the equipment that we use. And we do have the information up on our Facebook page, 313 Paranormal Society on Facebook.
We'll link to it on ours as well.
Right.
Perfect. And then, although, you know, because we're coming so close, this Friday will be the cutoff date on tickets.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's very simple. If you have any problems acquiring tickets, just message us through Facebook and we'll get to them.
Now I want to talk really quick. So you mentioned just a minute ago about like something can attach to you and it can be like a string of bad luck.
Yeah.
Barnes has had like the worst day.
Yeah.
So I think you might want to kind of retrace your steps and see if maybe you pissed off a spirit of some kind or something. Because I still think that dude that showed up in the tow truck to help you was like not real. I think he showed up, and at some point you're going to tell the story to people. They're going to be like, "That was Tow Truck Willie."
It could just be like
he just drives up and down these streets, and he's known to help strangers when they're in need.
Which is that time of year. Like I mean, a couple of years ago, I had a girlfriend that her family they run a cemetery on Woodward. It's a Jewish cemetery. It's supposed to be like a haunted cemetery, you know. And like some weird stuff happened, and it was creepy. Like I don't want to go into the big story, but it was like this time of year, so maybe it's just coming around and bite me in the butt.
Does this time of year seem to be like more active, or is it just that we're like looking for it?
You're in tune, yeah. Everyone's in tune, and correct me if I'm wrong, Christy, but I believe the veil between the living and the dead is the thinnest on Devil's Night. I'm not sure if that's...
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be.
It's the thinnest throughout the whole year.
And we have Day of the Dead,
and why would that be?
Right.
So, you know what?
I was going to say, I could be wrong on this, but I believe the pagans in the Celtic regions believed that after... You know,
oh, that's Celtic.
I'm talking about, yeah. I believe that it has something to do with it being after the solstice or something like that.
Okay,
that's why the veil is thinnest. I can't remember what it was.
Do things like that, do you notice things like that playing a role? Like, will you see more activity if it's a full moon or... like environmental things?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've heard that, like, being near water or, that those will sort of
running,
pick up activity.
Running water, moon phases, natural disasters.
Really?
Things like that, yeah, because it can feed off of that energy.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know.
Well, I don't want to waste any more time because you brought us some audio.
Yeah, we do.
And let's get to this so people that non-believe might believe, and then people that do believe, you're not alone out there as Jason Nadaski and his group 313 Paranormal. Christy, stay on the line, and we're going to go through some audio. You guys describe the audio, what we're listening to, and we'll go from there.
We're trying some new technology.
Right.
I don't know how good the quality is going to come through, so we can see what happens.
All right, so let's try the first one.
Okay. Yeah. We did try them last week. These are from Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. Okay.
So we'll try these again.
Love those Pennsylvanians.
It's in Ohio, right?
No, it's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's in West Virginia.
Oh, West Virginia.
We're all over the map.
We're all wrong.
Well, the Allegheny is mostly in Pennsylvania.
Way better than Ohio.
The Allegheny.
I don't know about that. I spent like 12 minutes in West Virginia, and it was like 14 minutes.
Okay, here we go. Right. We'll see how this goes. Oh, let's try it again.
A
second. Crank it up.
Did it play the whole
crank
part?
Crank it up.
Try it again.
A little growl. Or like,
yeah.
What I believe it's saying is my name, Jason.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear that again.
That's gotta freak you out.
All right, try it again.
Yeah,
I can kind of hear it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's the point where you.
How does that make you feel? Like,
yeah, like, do you need to bring extra like pairs creepy, of like creepy underwear awesome, with you?
You know, yeah. I mean, it's creepy, but at the same time, it's like, wow, how cool is that? And that's only happened to me twice.
Okay,
so
wow, that is very cool. But I would definitely have to have extra shorts with those.
All right, so what do we got next?
I'm just saying, I hear Marvin.
This one is well, I'm gonna play it and then we'll go.
For okay.
It.
What was that?
Is that a cough?
No.
So what was it that you supposedly? Because there's a lot of noises going on there.
It was just the two of us, another investigator from another team.
Right.
We heard. I thought it was a cough.
Right. So it sounded like right off the bat.
And then like doors moving and no.
Okay, so that wasn't you guys moving them.
That wasn't us.
Oh, wow.
We were completely still.
Okay, so play it again now.
Because I definitely read it to be, it almost sounded like a cough or a sigh. Like,
yeah, that's what I thought it was a sigh. Yep. Yeah.
And we were just sitting there.
Yep, so play it again.
Oh, so that sigh wasn't me.
What was that?
Is that a cough?
No.
Like squeaky doors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The squeaking part we didn't hear.
We didn't hear that at the time, but we did hear the brush. So you heard the sigh or the cough.
Yep.
But yeah, that definitely sounds like a sigh.
No, yeah, like yeah. A, almost like
Trans-Allegheny lunatic.
Like that. Like they're bored or something. Yeah. Like.
Yeah, get out of here already.
Yeah, right? Pretty much.
Like,
yeah.
When are you guys gonna leave?
Wow, that's crazy.
He's like, you guys ever see the movie Fly Away Home?
Fly like a bird.
Homeward Bound, any of those? What else you got for us?
What do we got? Yep.
All right.
Can you close one of these doors for us, please?
Oh. Yeah, that was a door.
Seriously.
But right before that, like maybe about 10 seconds before that, it sounded like I heard a click.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay, all right. Yep.
Did you hear that noise at the time?
Yes.
Okay, so was it actually a door closing then?
Yes.
It wasn't just the sound of a door, it was actually a door closing.
Wow. It closed.
Yep. He's getting goosebumps. I'm seeing it on his arm right here. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you were there, right?
Right.
So when you say, can you close a door? And then a few seconds later, a door closes. Like that's...
And when they're saying your name.
Yeah, right? So the door closes and they're like, hi, Jason. Right. Like, well, all right. Thank you for playing.
Right.
You got anything else for us?
Yeah, I got a few more.
Oh, right. Awesome. I love it.
Are you still here?
Like
footsteps.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Well, it was footsteps.
Okay.
Let's go on to another one. All right, this is the one with bad language. I apologize.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Did I say fuck you?
Back it up real quick.
Did I say fuck you?
It is out here.
You heard it?
What was that? Sorry. I say fuck you?
Yeah, so their voices that you can kind of hear at the beginning, are those like team members?
Yeah,
or?
That was us.
Okay.
That was us.
Okay, but and I mean, you clearly hear somebody say
something
terrible, terrible language. Like a sailor or something.
Wow. Oh, please.
And you obviously heard that because you like
responded to it. Right.
Yeah.
What was that? I don't know.
Oh, wow.
What the heck?
What was that?
Yeah.
In the beginning, okay. It's what we think is like a growl slash breath. We yeah. didn't really know what it was. But okay.
And then at the end, was that?
It sounded like a little girl.
That was us kind of talking. There
okay.
Was,
so, okay. That was you. Okay. Okay.
I'll play it one more time.
Oh, that. Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. So. That's you guys talking. Okay.
Yeah.
Kenny.
That was awesome. Okay.
Yeah, that was definitely a...
Arr. Something, yeah.
Arr.
What, you think it's a pirate?
It's a pirate,
really quickly,
yeah.
We are being pirate joined company. By Jason Nadaski and his partner, Christy, from 313 Paranormal, above the Activate. Yeah, 313
Paranormal Society. Society.
Above Activate Studios, and we're drinking Falling Down Beer.
Yay. Which has nothing Brad. To do which has nothing to do with what we're hearing on these EVPs.
Right. You can listen to us later on podcastdetroit.com.
Yeah. That's right. It's all paid for. All right, what do we got
what's
next?
Next.
What did they do to you?
That one's not coming through with all that good, but I'll play it again for you guys.
Okay.
What did they do to you?
Sounds like they dropped a box on him.
Yeah.
Right?
It's what we believe it's saying is hurt me.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Try it again.
Yeah.
What did they do to you?
It's hard to make out anything.
Yeah. And so these are all from Waverly or?
No, Trans Allegheny.
I'm sorry. Trans Allegheny. Yep.
Can you see us?
It sounds like yes, I can.
Yeah, it's. I heard yes,
it's
at
like,
least.
It's, yeah. Yeah, it's either yes, I can, or I do. Okay. We bring it up to it one more time. Can you see us?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Okay.
Really? Because you're the one that's, let's go ghost hunting.
I know. I talk a good game.
Yeah.
Is that somebody talking? Or no, that
no,
was...
That's me.
What the...
That's not an investigator?
No.
Holy
wow.
cow. And what you're hearing in the background, that is
the bell.
EMF detector going on.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Can you give us the location of where that one was?
That one was in the children's ward.
Ooh. It sounded almost like a younger child or something, maybe. Mm-hmm.
It could have been.
Wow. And do you have
it, do it again.
Yeah.
Sure. Do it again.
Do it again. Do it again.
See, what I think it's saying is I'm just following around with you.
Okay. Mm,
okay.
I'll do it one more time for him.
See, I just hear, I'm just following.
And I'm sure this is what you have to, you know, contend with. I thought I was hearing something about going outside.
Okay.
That's what I thought I was hearing. And this is probably something you have to deal with all the time, right?
It is. Yeah. It is. Oh, yeah.
People hear
different things, yeah.
And that's why, you know, when I come across them, I don't tell them I want them
right, to hear what to, right.
Get their own, you know, yeah, right. Once I put it in your head and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I hear it.
Yeah.
If you end up, like, you know, you play it for a bunch of people and every single person hears something, like, vastly different. Do you
throw
just
it out.
You just kind of have to chalk that up to it was a weird noise.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yep. Unexplained, just got to throw it out.
All right.
Yeah.
Man. All right, we got more?
Yes, we do. I'm sorry. I'm trying. Let me try.
That's okay.
Never apologize for playing cool EVPs.
Right.
Do we need to take another break real quick?
Yeah, we're going to go to our last break. It's going to be only 5 minutes. We're going to let Jason cue this up. We also have our top 10 monster movies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We want to thank Activate Studios, who are above, and Falling Down Bear Company, and PodcastDetroit.com. We're the Undercard, episode 161. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stick around, Christy.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Where does they go from port to port?
You still with us, Christy?
I'm still here.
Hang in there, girl.
Oh, I'm
Are we
here.
Good? Are we back? Oh, we're back now. That okay. was good. That was perfect. Sorry, we appeared to be falling down a bit.
Oh, you know what that reminds me of, Mark?
What's that?
One of our sponsors, a
really?
Falling Down Beer Company.
No way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's
and
crazy.
You know what?
What's that?
Do you know where we're drinking the Falling Down beer?
Oh, we're above, I want to say it's an Active Place.
Activate Gaming.
Activate Gaming.
In the Podcast Detroit studio.
Hey, speaking of Active Places, we were talking with 313 Paranormal Society founder and CEO, I don't know what
CFO, CIO,
sounds great.
EIEIO.
We're still talking with Jason Nadaski
yep.
And Christy. I've forgotten your last name, Christy. I apologize.
It's Whitman. That's all right.
Whitman. That was so difficult. Jason Nadaski and Christy Whitman from the 313 Paranormal Society. We're listening to some EVPs. So I think we still have some more.
Yeah, I got yes. five. I got
okay.
five more.
All right.
He got five more.
Let's
for us.
Let's run through.
So
these.
Let's run through them real quick because yep. we still have to get to our movie. List.
Yes. Right.
This may contain bad language. I can't.
Okay.
Well, that I'm shit sure. is unacceptable.
Right.
What's your name?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Let's do that again. Hold on.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Oh, yeah. I heard that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I've been called that before in my classroom.
Wow.
No, that's not what... Wait, what?
Wait, I didn't hear
what
it.
What did you
so
think?
What
did
no,
you
guys think everyone said?
I think he says F you.
Well, at the end, that did... Well, there was some cussing at the end, but what I think it was just a bang. I couldn't pick out a
oh, okay.
particular name.
Well, did you think it said see you next Tuesday?
I'm not
no.
sure.
No.
Rhymes
I'll,
with
I'll play
that
one more
surge
quick
of
time.
Energy we're okay. hearing. I mean, is it possible to have a surge of energy like that with a spirit and it not actually be vocal like that? It seems like it's a surge of energy through...
It's possible. You're not talking about the sound that you're hearing, right?
Like, no. I'm talking about yeah.
It's possible. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear it one more time.
What's your name?
The fuck.
But Matt, we didn't hear.
Yeah. You know, like
audibly.
I hear the bang, but it does sound like at least the end of the k sound
I don't hear that.
That's what I heard at the
end. I know.
End,
I was, yeah. I know.
Jason, move on to your next
right,
one.
Yep. Yeah.
This one really intrigued my. It really got me. I'll
okay.
go ahead and play this one for you. Now, this is just me walking. And then this voice.
That's not
oh,
you talking.
No,
that
oh,
sounds
oh,
foreign.
Wow.
Like
oh,
a my. Foreign language.
Okay, wait. Buenos dias.
Yes, yeah. Play it again. Dios, definitely.
Play it one more time for
and
the
we did not
sharing.
Hear that at all.
One more.
Bless you.
That's better Spanish than Dora. That's pretty good.
Buenos dias.
I like how you get that almost crystal clear.
Yeah.
I definitely hear buenos dios, but
see, I don't hear the buenos. I hear dios, but
no, I hear yeah. buenos.
Buenos dios.
I mean, I hear something, but it didn't sound like buenos.
It just
me.
Was, you know, because none of us were speaking
yeah
foreign language at night. And,
it's gonna piss
wow.
off Donald Trump. I mean, not only does he have to keep out the people that are alive, but
right, yeah.
yeah
how do you build a wall to keep out
it's spirits? I mean,
these,
right?
these Mexican spirits are coming up and taking American spirit jobs.
How right?
How many votes just swayed because of that audio?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on
what
to the next one.
What is the unemployment rate among the paranormal?
All right, let's move on to the next one.
Is that a
that was a scream.
What
yeah.
the heck, dude?
It was a scream.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, that sends like chills up my spine when I hear
that's
that.
It's like fingernails on a pretty chalkboard.
That's well. Oh, like banshee God. Scream.
Yeah.
All right, we're on the crunch hour. We got to hear the last two.
Yep.
All right. All right.
I heard a moan or something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, and you got one more.
All right, one more.
Last one.
Those screams, yeah, the
screams,
in the
background. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
What? Really quick though, I really want to hear that Buenos Dias one again. Can you play that one just real quick?
Buenos Dias.
Buenos Dias.
Sorry, I thought you still had them all.
Oh, that's
up.
Okay. That's right.
Good job, Mark.
I feel it's interesting to me, the screams, because remember the one time you and I went out and we were with your cousin and we don't hear anything, but clear as day on the audio you hear a scream.
All right, right? let's hear it
one more time.
Holy shit. Yeah. If you didn't, that one's the one.
Yeah. Right there, right?
It's the same bonus to you.
Yes.
All right,
we got to move on.
Really quickly, we got to thank our guests, and then we're going to go into our last top 10. Yeah. Christy Whitman, thank you for joining us on air. We will hear from you soon. We got a part, though, because we're up against it. Jason Nadaski, thank you very much for 313 Paranormal. Yep.
Thanks for
having us. Anthony Barnes, thank you for being the coolest boxing insider host for us. We want to thank Rochelle for working the board. We want to thank Marv and his significant other, Tracy, for joining us. We want to thank our ring girls.
She's my wife.
significant other works. Jimmy for doing everything. We want to thank Activate 8. Gaming, and we want to thank Falling Down. Really quickly, we have a top 10 music.
Monster movies. All right. In no particular order, we have The Thing, 1980s, The Blob, Nosferatu, Frankenstein, 1990s, Dracula, 1930s, Van Helsing, Alien, King Kong, Super 8, and Godzilla.
All right, I only have 9 because they were the only ones that truly deserved it. The Mummy, Brendan Fraser, yes. King Kong, and I'm including both the 1930s and the Jack Black one.
All right.
Monster Squad.
Hey. All right.
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
All right.
Jaws.
Okay. Hold on. Ed Wood movie made.
Yes. Yeah. Damn right it did.
Continue.
Jaws.
Yep.
Frankenstein. The 1939 Boris Karloff version.
Okay.
The only real one.
Agreed.
Dracula.
Yep.
Also the Bela Lugosi version.
All right.
Interview with the Vampire.
All right.
And number 1, Nosferatu.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. All right.
Mine going from 10, Arachnophobia.
Dang it. All right. I'll put that as my number 10.
All right.
Shark Knight.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Sharknado.
I loved it. No, not Sharknado. Shark Knight. Right. Critters. The original.
Oh, yeah.
Van Helsing.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I love Van Helsing.
Yeah.
Super 8.
Yep.
Okay.
Number 5, Monster Squad.
Yeah, yes, girl. Right.
4, The Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
All right.
3, They Live.
Roddy Piper.
I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
A lot of bubblegum.
A lot of bubblegum.
Number 2, Aliens. And number 1, Jaws.
Yes.
All right. Really quickly before we close it out, Sarah Ring Girl, what's your favorite monster movie?
My favorite monster movie?
Yeah. Get closer to the mic.
We're running out of time, girl.
Yeah, hurry up. Little Shop of Horrors?
Come on.
Works for me.
Little Shop, there it is.
No. Right. Throw it out really quick. You have 10 seconds.
The last one I watched was Sharknado
2. There we go.
Right. We'll talk to everybody in a week. Bye.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.